Come to order.
Governor Sheffield, how you doing back there? In accordance with the provisions of Uniform Rule 51, I turn the gavel over to the President of the Senate, the Honorable Lyda Green.
The joint session will come to order. The purpose of this joint session is to hear the State of the State and budget message by the Honorable Sarah Palin, Governor of the State of Alaska. Senator Stevens.
Madam President, I move and I ask unanimous consent that the roll call of the Senate be waived and all members be shown as present.
Without objection, so ordered.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call of the House be waived and all members be shown as present.
Without objection, so ordered. Will Senator Hoffman and Representative Roses escort Governor Palin to the joint session?
Gentlemen, the governor of this great state of Alaska, the Honorable Sarah Palin.
Thank you and good afternoon, Lieutenant Governor and legislators and all Alaskans, and to our commissioners. I thank you for being here and for serving for all the right reasons. To Todd and our girls, Bristol and Willow and Piper, and our son Track, proudly serving in the United States Army, I thank you for your service. Let us pay tribute to all. Let's pay tribute to all of our men and women in uniform and their families and those who've served before our great nation. Their fight for freedom allows us to assemble tonight with liberties and with security. It's because of their sacrifices that we're free to do our jobs here, and we thank them. Now, out of respect for the greatest country on earth, let's talk about what Alaska can do to contribute and to help secure these United States. Addressing you on the first day of the 90-day session, it shows our administration's commitment to help you carry out Alaska's will. We have a lot of work to do. We've only got about 1,000 days left in our term, so we really want to get to work tonight. Along with releasing our budget early, and I appreciate your legislative finance director noting that our budget is the cleanest that he's seen. I'm going to lay out goals and show how they fit into a clear and positive plan for a strong Alaska. In our first year, we've seen positive change and restored trust. From ethics reform to AGEA and ACEs, we've got to keep Alaska moving forward to that promise that was launched 50 years ago at statehood. Was founded on hope and on trust and rooted firmly in our Constitution. Together, let's provide constitutional services like education and public safety and solid infrastructure, and let's do them right. Let's commit, as natural resource owners, to take responsibility for good stewardship when they are developed. Let's remember, Alaskans are capable and created to work. So when government provides education and job training opportunities, that every able-bodied Alaskan is expected to work and not simply rely on government to provide. Let's take personal responsibility, too, in all areas of life, including health. That what we consume, what we engage in, it impacts not just individual health, but our communities, too. Let's rein in government growth, so that individual liberty and opportunities can expand. And let's expect that every region contributes to our economy to fulfill our promise to be a self-sufficient state made up of the hardest working and most grateful Americans in our nation. It's in this spirit that I say to my fellow Alaskans, we have such great potential because the state of the state is great and our potential is even greater. Challenges are ahead, but let's look back a year at some of the accomplishments. In education, big news there. Shaping the three-year funding plan to finally shift the school debate from perpetual money talk to now accountability and achievement, to focus on fundamental skills needed in the real world, workplace, and in college. In natural resources, we have opened arms to development, to welcome development, but only responsibly or not at all. Thanks to those abundant resources, we're going to be able to provide for the needs of our citizens. In revenue, Alaskans ushered in a new era of stability with ACES, our new oil and gas appraisal system. It will provide protection even when oil prices aren't sky high as they are today. It was Ronald Reagan who said, yeah, government always finds a need for whatever money it gets. And I agree, and that's why we say we must save our surplus. We have a plan for $7 billion into the permanent fund and the CBR and education funds, and to pay down that PERS TERS debt. In fish and game, got fisheries management based on science, not special interests, and predator control, showing results already with greater wildlife populations so more Alaskans can hunt and feed their families the world's healthiest, cleanest protein on God's green earth. In environmental conservation, our climate change group, they've begun working on ways to adapt to impacts, and we're bringing on those voter-mandated ocean rangers. In administration, we redesign technology for government efficiency and transparency, including our nearly complete online checkbook. We're going to show Alaskans where their money is spent. And we've strengthened APOC. We've added that investigator. In transportation, we added another $100 million for a total of more than $600 million for roads and airports, and to allow that private sector to really grow and to progress. And our transportation endowment will build a better and safer infrastructure, and it's going to eliminate the need or the threat of an increased gas tax for consumers at the pump. In labor, exciting and innovative efforts there to grow private sector partnerships in mentoring and vo-tech curriculum and training more healthcare providers to meet very urgent workforce demands. In health and social services, we are changing the Office of Children's Services. There is so much work to be done in that arena. We're improving our assessment process, better training to better protect Alaska's vulnerable children. And, of course, we returned our senior benefits to our deserving elders, and we have you to thank for that, and I applaud you. In public safety and corrections, after years of positions left vacant, we've doubled academy recruits. And remembered I'd promised to separate the wildlife brown shirts from law enforcement blue, so 96 brown shirts, they're finally getting to that stream near you. And we're building public trust in that arena by demanding the highest standards of those in public safety, the highest standards. We're implementing realistic plans to deal with overcrowded prisons and rehabilitate and require work of the 95% of inmates who will re-enter society versus just warehousing them. In law, we're getting tough on criminals with tougher, defensible sentences. It was a clean sweep for convictions in the cold case unit, and our civil division is managing hundreds of legal battles to protect Alaskans' interests. And I commend law for last year's needed comprehensive ethics bill. In military and veterans affairs, we certified hundreds of territorial guardsmen so those who served finally received their benefits. And we're proudly supporting our brave guard as they provide daily search and rescue in our state and they support the war on terror. In commerce, we really beefed up consumer protection with good changes to banking and securities. We pushed every agency really hard to deliver results last year, and they did deliver. We'll deliver again this year. They slashed the upward trajectory of budget increases from 14% all the way down to 4%, despite rising health care and retirement and energy costs. And I thank our commissioners. I ask you to join me in thanking commissioners and their staff for that success. Our economy is solid. We have a vigorous investment climate with ACEs now. For 20 consecutive years, you know, Alaska's job numbers, the number of jobs, it's grown, and we expect 2,000 more new jobs this year. We're trickling down the state's wealth, too, to the communities through a 50% increase in municipal revenue sharing. This can provide local property tax relief, and it can provide for local priorities to be met, like filling potholes and filling police positions. And I propose reducing and eliminating burdensome taxes and fees on citizens, like our business license fees and the tire tax. It's after our citizens, though, that our state treasure is our commonly owned natural resources. 50 years ago, our Constitution founders, they established really lofty goals and ironclad promises to be self-sufficient and self-determined through wise use of those resources. A perfect example of our self-determination is our natural gas pipeline vehicle called AGEA. AGEA's competitive process is built on Alaska's must-haves. Finally, we can have an open access gas line so new explorers can produce new reserves. We can have in-state use of our gas and careers for Alaskans. Without AGEA's requirements, we'd be leveraged by a small group of companies, and we just can't surrender the revenue, the judicial process. We can't surrender our sovereignty. And AGEA is working. A respected pipeline construction company, TransCanada, they submitted a proposal that does meet all of Alaska's requirements. AGEA cleared the path for our gas to feed hungry local markets and to help secure the United States with a safe, stable, domestic supply of clean energy. And a GEA license is going to get the ball rolling on our terms, finally. And it opens the door to innovative and strategic partnerships. And we're reasonable and we're open to those partnerships that at the end of the day will get that long-awaited gas line finally built for Alaska. With this progress, it's with great confidence that we can say our future is bright. Industry knows we want responsible development. Anadarko, for instance, they're going to drill Alaska's first ever gas-targeted wells up there on the slope. It's got Chevron, FEX, Renaissance, many other companies exploring. That's ratification of AGEA's promise to make investments profitable for industrious explorers. And there is more that we can do to help our leaseholders. We want to ramp up development. Our new reservoir study can increase development, and it will ensure better publicly supported project coordination. Now, besides oil and gas and mining, we're advancing tourism to show the world Alaska's majesty. We're supporting our tremendous fisheries. You know, it's been over 150 years. They've been the economic and social heart of our coastal communities. They define us and sustain us, and we will not let politics interfere with management for abundance for our largest private sector employer. Now to cultivate. Thank you. to cultivate timber in agriculture, too. We're encouraging responsible economic efforts to revitalize our once robust industries there. We can and we must, because our state can't and must not continue to rely so heavily on federal government earmarks. Instead, let's power up and produce for Alaska and for America, and we can do this. We're 50 years old now, and it's time. It's time to take back our collective sense of responsibility and sovereignty, to honor constitutional principles, and to remind the feds of our right to access and to develop, to maximize development for the people of this great land. We've got to harness Alaskan ingenuity, and that's how we're going to deal with the double-edged sword that we have right now in our hands with high oil prices. We'll implement solutions to address outrageous energy costs for our citizens, while at the same time, though, we've got to save, we've got to invest the revenue generated by these record prices. Let's not blow it. Let's capitalize. We'll fully fund power cost equalization, $28 million to offset costs, and match $10 million for Denali Commission and Energy Authority conservation programs. But what we need is a comprehensive approach to long-term energy plans, not just these fiscal economic, you know, shots in the arm. I'm appointing an energy coordinator. This energy coordinator will activate a statewide energy plan. We'll use earnings from our $250 million renewable energy fund for alternative projects like wind and hydro and geothermal and biomass. These projects, they can't even flirt with snake oil science. They have to be real and doable and economic. Alaska's plan can lead America toward energy security and a cleaner, safer world. It's our energy development tool. Of course, it pays for essential services like education. It was Victor Hugo who said, "He who opens a school door closes a prison, and it's a privileged obligation we have to open those education doors." It's a privilege. Every child of every ability is to be cherished and loved and taught. Every child provides this world hope. They're the most beautiful ingredient in our sometimes muddied up world, and I'm committed to them and to their education. Stepping through that door is about more than just passing a standardized test, though. We need kids prepared to pass life tests like getting a job and valuing strong work ethic. Our three-year education plan, it invests more than $1 billion a year. We must forward fund education and let schools plan. Let them plan ahead and quit pink slipping teachers, then struggle to recruit and retain the next year. We'll enable schools finally to get to focus on innovation and accountability to see superior results. We're asking lawmakers to pass a new K-12 funding plan early this year. It's a significant investment, I know. It's needed, though. We believe it's needed to increase that base student allocation, the district cost factors, and intensive needs students. A package includes a $100 million school construction and deferred maintenance. There's awesome potential here to improve education and to respect good teachers and to embrace choices for parents, really to prime Alaska to compete in a global economy today and a global economy tomorrow that's getting so competitive. It's going to blow us away if we're not prepared. Beyond high school, we'll boost job training and university options, more than $10 million in new funding for apprenticeship programs, and expansion of construction and engineering and healthcare degrees to meet demands. But it's got to be about more than just funds. It's got to be a change in philosophy. It's time to shift focus from just dollars and cents to dollaria, and forgive me for butchering that beautiful native word. It's a Yupik word that means people who want to work. Work for pride in supporting our families in and out of the home. Work for purpose and action and ultimately destiny fulfilled by being fruitful. It's about results, and really it's about getting kids excited about their future, about college and trade schools and the military. and the Lieutenant Governor and I, we're working on a plan to make attending Alaska's university and trade schools a reality for more students, more Alaskans with merit scholarships. We'll get to talk to you more about that soon. Our resources, too. They pay for other priorities, like transportation and infrastructure. Our budget totals $1.6 billion to invest for these improvements. There are so many more needs out there. Remember, future federal highway funds are dropping off. We're warned of this by our congressional delegation. So we're proposing a $240 million general obligation bond on top of the package for transportation and infrastructure improvements. The transportation projects in there and the crime lab, we're going to let Alaskans vote on these projects because it's their money. We're addressing another big challenge, too. That's the availability and the cost of health care. I established our Health Care Strategies Council, and I so appreciate the outstanding volunteers who've served there. We're going to pursue many of their recommendations, starting with our Health Care Transparency Act. That's requiring that consumers get better information about the prices and quality of their own care. And we're going to allow competition. Under our present certificate of need process, costs and needs don't drive healthcare choices. Bureaucracy does. And our system is broken and it's expensive. We propose, as many states have, eliminating the CON to increase choice and to manage rising costs. Currently, there are 9 active CON lawsuits. They're adversely affecting our consumers. Bottom line is Alaskans want health care in the hands of doctors, not lobbyists, not lawyers. Smart thing to do, too, is what we're doing and considering what other fiscally conservative states have done to incentivize employers to provide medical insurance for employees based on the free market. But comprehensive reform must include not only our government reform, but Alaskans choosing to take more personal responsibility. All Alaskans must do better, to be healthier. Our choices often lead to issues like heart disease and diabetes, and underage drinking, and drugs, and violence, and abuse. Soaring health and public safety costs, you know, sometimes they're unfairly passed on to others, and that's so unfortunate, but even more importantly, by ignoring or accepting selfish choices that cause the abuse, well, children, families, and entire Alaskan communities are destroyed by that. I visited the child sexual assault clinic at Providence last week. Senators Dyson and French and Representatives Gatto and Fairclough and others were there. I'll tell you, it was heart-wrenching, absolutely heart-wrenching to hear, especially of an account where one village sees 85 to 90% of the innocent children there having seen the abuse, including some horrible sexual abuse. It's just so tragic, and if that doesn't open your eyes to the need, then nothing will. And I know that it's a human's natural defense mechanism to not even want to think about that and not want to take action, but we must, because a few days after Providence, I was in Bethel, so full of hope again, because I saw children so hopeful and so blameless and so trusting. You know, I knew we will not let them down. With a bright economic future on the horizon, these kids need sound minds and healthy bodies to prepare for that future. We'll do our part as a government to help those who cannot help themselves. We're really excited about our youth wellness initiative. It will combat alcohol and abuse and suicide. We're going to educate kids about healthy eating and physical activities. But again, government can't cure all those ills. And please don't assume that more laws foisted on Alaskans are the only answer. You know, most bad activity is already illegal. We've got to make wise, healthy, personal choices, including choosing not to ignore that abuse. I'm counting on families and communities and faith-based groups to really rise up together very passionately about this. Proverbs tells us, There's no strength without unity. So Alaska, let's unify. Let's be unified to be strong. Let's serve selflessly and disregard who gets the credit. We're on the same team if we've got the same goal. With so much opportunity here in Alaska, let's look at challenges like we do in our own families, you know, save money and spend wisely, and we're going to secure our tomorrow. Invest in solid foundations like education and deferred maintenance. Let's pull together and not tear down. Let's be positive. Let's respect our treasured past. But now look forward to the future. These are leadership characteristics expected by those who elect us to lead, to serve, to work for Alaskans. What a responsibility we have. It's a responsibility to look beyond partisan and geographic differences, to slow government growth so we don't tax hardworking families and then hand also to future generations a budget that they can't afford, to restore trust in government, to develop our resources responsibly, including that gas line to meet our long-term energy needs, and to equip our students for work, to help them commit to personal responsibility and to good character. It's united leadership to do the will of the people with vigor. The Palin-Parnell administration stands ready to work with you, not against you, but to work with you to accomplish all of this. And by doing so, we'll realize the potential that our honored Native elders and our Constitution's founding mothers and fathers saw providentially years ago. So with 1,055 days to go in our term, we're ready to get to work. I think I can sum it up by sharing an email that my brother just sent me. He's an elementary school teacher, so I'm going to be listening to him. My brother sent a good luck email this afternoon and says, "Yeah, you've got a lot of work to do. Let's get to work." And he's quoting the Navy Admiral, and Mr. Heath says, "Got lots of work to do, so damn the torpedoes. Full speed ahead." And I say, "Amen, brother, we will do that." So God bless you. Thank you, legislature. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to address you early. God bless all Alaskans, and God bless America. Thank you. Stevens.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that this joint session stand in adjournment.
Without objection, the joint session is adjourned.
Majority.
Unanimous consent, the House stand in adjournment until 11 a.m. Wednesday, January 16th.
Hearing no objection, it will be in adjournment until 11 a.m. tomorrow.